grateful. So, as we've been celebrating this month of Kartik, I've been doing many things. Of course, I've been doing the circumambulation of Govardhan every day. Except for one day I was sick. But the other days we went around Govardhan. And taking groups around. Some of the devotees came from New Zealand, like Krishna Chandra was there. You all remember Krishna Chandra?
Yes.
Krishna Chandra was there. So in the future, I want to invite you all to join us for Kartik. Kalasambhara Prabhu is going to come in February, right?
Yeah.
What?
Right?
Yeah, you said you're going to come and stay with us.
For a week?
For a week, yeah.
Am I booked in?
Yeah, you're booked in. You're booked in.
Right.
So by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and the Vaishnavas, you know, we have extra facility at Govardhan. We have two houses by the mercy of Kishori. You all know who Kishori is? Kishori and another of my disciples in the United States. So if you book early, either during February or during Kartik, then we can do Govardhan Parikramas together. So it's very, very nice. So every day, I was taking the devotees around. Usually, when I'm there by myself, I usually stay there and chant 64 rounds. But when I'm taking devotees around, they have a habit of talking, so can't really chant 64 rounds. But it was wonderful serving the Vaishnavas, taking them, showing them all the different holy places around Govardhan. And we would leave at 6 o'clock in the morning and generally finish by about 10 or 11 in the morning, every morning. It's nice. So anyone who wants to come, you can book early. You can book on the internet. No, just contact me and we are invited to join us for some Kartik or in February, right after the GBC meetings for Parikrama around Govardhan. So this month is very special. Of course, it's called Damodar month, the Kartik month. And during this month, the devotees execute special vows, you know, vratas. And sometimes they eat less. I know that's hard for all of you. But, you know, sometimes they say you should give up something during this month. And usually devotees give up something they don't like to eat during this month, like beets or something like that. So The whole point is to actually increase your hearing and chanting and devotion to the Supreme Personality of God. And the point isn't to execute austerities just for the sake of austerities to torture the body. It's very important to understand that. Like, I remember the first time I did Govardhan Puja, Govardhan circumambulation. That was before any of you were born, even before Nandabraj was born. It was in 1973. And that year, I was a brahmachari, and I did it barefoot, and it was very hot out. And by the time I finished the Govardhan circumambulation, I was thinking, hope I don't have to do this again. So the point is, if the austerities come to that degree that you're thinking, this is too much for me, then that austerity is not favorable for Krishna consciousness. It's very important to understand that point, because we think sometimes we can please Krishna just by torturing the body in some way or by making ourselves miserable. We don't please Krishna by making ourselves miserable. We please Krishna by becoming attached to the different processes of devotional service, such as hearing and chanting and remembering. So if an austerity helps you become more attached, that austerity can be accepted. The statement is there in the Bhagavatam, that even if you do all the different processes of devotional service and you're not getting attracted to the pastimes and qualities of the Lord, the holy name of the Lord, then you're really not doing things properly. You're wasting your time. So I had that realization about austerities. I mean, so just like we were at Govardhan recently, and some of the devotees, they wanted to walk around barefoot. And you know, that's very nice if you can walk around barefoot. But basically, I asked them if that would make them happy doing that, or just be an austerity like a torture. And they said, well, it would be too much for us. So then I suggested they wear socks when they go around. And in that way, they'd have a more pleasant experience of going up. So that's the point. The point is the change of heart the love in the heart you have for Krishna. Now, we're not these hatha yogis who sit in the Himalayas, or we surround ourselves, just like the statement made by, by Jadvarta. Ruhuganai tat tapasana yati nacheja nirvapranad brahadva nachanda sanaiva jalagni suryar vina mahatpada rajobishekam. He states that you're not going to become Krishna conscious by surrounding yourself by fire in the middle of the summer. Of course, here that would probably be pleasant because the summer is kind of cold. But, isn't it? I mean, you don't really have a summer here, do you?
No, you've got to go somewhere where it's about 45.
Yeah, you got to go to Vrindavan. Or by putting yourself in ice cubes in the middle of the winter. You're not going to become Krishna conscious by any of these things, or by becoming a good brahmachari or a good grahasta, or any of these things, but simply by taking the dust from the feet of a pure devotee. That is the secret in devotional service. Rajo bishekham. That is like the dust, the foot dust of the feet of the pure devotee. So that's really how we become Krishna conscious. By associating with great pure devotees, not by doing austerities, not by being proud of our particular ashram status. And our association with great devotees is accomplished by sound vibration. Just like all of you can associate directly with Srila Prabhupada, just as much as any of the Prabhupada disciples associate or have associated with Srila Prabhupada. It was interesting, this topic came up also in the Prabhupada disappearance day celebration of Krishna Balaram Mandir. It's a very interesting thing. I'll reveal some of my realizations. Many devotees were giving offerings to Prabhupada on that day. And one thing that came up that was I didn't like so much with some of the offerings was that there were people who were saying, we are Prabhupada disciples. This is your last opportunity to understand Prabhupada, basically, because we're getting ready to leave the planet soon. You know, it's pretty depressing for most of the second generation devotees when they heard it. You know, just like, they said, we're leaving soon. Take advantage of our association. Because that's how you'll get to know Prabhupada. And so I was thinking, that's not such a good mood. First of all, when I gave my offering, I said, I don't want to leave so soon. Myself and Giriraj Maharaj, we both had the same opinion. He said, I think I need some more time, like a few more years. So, you know, you may all leave soon, but not me, you know. I'm staying back. So that was the first point. We're staying back. And then, but the most important point I made was that that you could all have the association to associate with Prabhupada, and you have the opportunity, to associate with Prabhupada, and it's not that the Prabhupada disciples have anything special as far as their association, because the association with Prabhupada is through sound vibration. And in one sense, everybody is a Siksha disciple of Srila Prabhupada, and connected directly with Srila Prabhupada, and having a direct relationship with Srila Prabhupada. So it's not that, you know, you're dependent on a Prabhupada disciple being present to understand Prabhupada. You're just as valuable. Because, a lot of the second generation devotees who spoke to me afterwards said they felt discouraged by some of the initial comments. They were made, they're just like, here we are, Prabhupada disciples, all you little folks down there. Lilliputians, so they... Do you ever read Gulliver's Travels?
Yeah.
You know who the Lilliputians are? Of course, they tied up Gulliver. But it was just, many of them had that impression. Many of the second generation, third generation ones had that impression. You know, what about us? You know, we're also serving Krishna. We're also serving Prabhupada. So I was feeling very uncomfortable with that hierarchical understanding, because we're actually all in this together. We're all servants of Prabhupada, all in it together. We all have equal opportunity to be with this divine grace of the Prabhupada. And in fact, second generation, third generation get more opportunity because they're grand disciples or great-grand disciples, and Prabhupada is kinder to them. Prabhupada said that. So you get more opportunity, and I'm envious of all of you. because Prabhupada's stricter with me. I wish he would be not so strict. Anyway. So that's the important point. We associate with Srila Prabhupada and with the members of our discipline succession by hearing. And if we stick with our discipline succession, Srila Prabhupada and the predecessor in discipline succession, and serve them, then we're actually going to go back there. Service is the important thing. Seva mukhehi jivado, swayameva sparatya yada. Then we can actually realize the non-difference of Krishna from his holy names. I had that realization. The final day of my parikrama, I had that realization because I was planning, it was a Kadashi, and I was planning to chant 64 rounds. And then one of my godbrothers came, Guru Prasad Swami, and he said, well, I'd like you to take me around in parikrama. And I was thinking, if I take him, I can't chant 64 rounds. So what should I do? Chant 64 rounds or serve my godbrother? You know, obviously, I thought, well, let's serve my godbrother. That would be more pleasing to Krishna and Prabhupada. And then I took him around and he saw the different places at Govardhan. So that's really the point. To do service of Vaishnavas. Mahat seva muhur vimuktes. If you serve a Vaishnava, and all Vaishnavas, not just superior Vaishnavas, but Vaishnavas who are your friends, or Vaishnavas who may be newer in the process of Krishna consciousness, then you're definitely going back to Godhead. If you see yourself amanina amanadena, as a servant of everyone, then there's no question of you're going back to Godhead. You will go back to Godhead. Everyone understands that point? So one thing I want to do this evening, actually I wanted to continue reading from a book that we've been reading, a very wonderful book that we've been reading every day on Karki. It's called the Bhakti Ratnakara by Narahari Chakravarti. Anyone's heard of this book before? And in this book, there's part of the book. The book generally deals with Srinivasacharya, Narottama Das Thakur, and Shyamananda and their pastimes. But within this book, there's the fifth chapter. And this fifth chapter is the original description of the Brajmando Parikrama, from which all the other Brajmando Parikramas have been taken. Because in this fifth chapter of the Bhakti Ratnakara, it's a 17th century work, you have Srinivasacharya and Narottama Das Thakur. You all know who Srinivasacharya and Narottama Das Thakur? No. Anyway, they're second generation from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Narottama Das Thakur is the author of many of the Vaishnava songs we write and we sing. And Srinivasacharya is the author of the Goswami Ashtaka. And he was the one who first started distributing books by bringing the Goswami's books to West Bengal. Those books were stolen, but even after they were stolen, the king, King Virahamvir, just by seeing the books, because he was the one who stole the books, became Krishna conscious. So that shows the efficacy or the potency of book distribution, that if someone even sees the book, they become Krishna conscious. So that's Srinivasa and Narottama. And so while they were getting trained up in Krishna consciousness by Srila Jiva Goswami, Jiva Goswami sent them around Vrindavan, guided by this devotee named Raghava Pandit. And Raghava Pandit in Krishna Leela is known as Dinishta, one of Krishna's cousins, female cousin. And so as he was taking them around Braj area, he was showing them all these various places and describing what happened in all the various places. And so the Brajmando Parikramas that we know today are based upon these descriptions in the Bhakti Ratnakara. Does everybody follow what I'm saying? So every day after Damodar Ashtaka, in the evening we've been reading from the Bhakti Ratnakara. And we'll just read a little bit today. And let's see. Also, there's another literature which we just finished reading. We have it all in MP3 format. It's the Lalita Madhava by Srila Rupa Goswami. So if anyone's interested in getting a copy of it, let me know. And it's done with music and very nice accompaniment. And the Lalita Madhava deals, see if I could summarize the Lalita Madhava, deals with the pastimes of Krishna outside of Vrindavan. when Krishna left Vrindavan, I don't know if I'll get to this if I start talking about the Lita Madhava, but anyway, when Krishna left Vrindavan, the residents of Vrindavan were feeling great separation. In fact, the gopis, headed up by Srimati Radharani, could not bear his separation, so basically most of them decided to leave their bodies. Srimati Radharani left her body, well, can't say leave her body, because she is, you know, she has a transcendental body, but she appeared to leave this world by entering into the Jamuna River. She just, like, drowned herself in the Jamuna River. And when she drowned herself in the Jamuna River, she was taken up by the sun god to the sun planet. And when she was taken up by the sun god to the sun planet, she also brought with her this jewel that was given to her by Balaram, who got the jewel from Krishna, who got the jewel from the Shankachuta demon. You know the Shankachuta demon? And that jewel later on became the Shaimataka jewel. If anyone gets confused, tell me to stop and then I'll just... I'm trying to keep it as simple as possible. So that jewel became the Shaimataka jewel. And so later on, when Krishna had that interesting exchange with Satyajit and got the Shaimataka jewel, and he gave it back to Satyajit, Krishna was given Satyabhama, who was actually Radharani. You follow so far? You probably know this work anyway. Some of it. He was given Satyabhama, who was basically an expansion, but is Radharani, who was given Satyabhama as a wife. However, he couldn't accept her immediately as his wife because he had previously gotten married to Rukmini. And when he got married to Rukmini, he had promised Rukmini he wouldn't marry anyone else without her permission. So Krishna was in a little bit of a dilemma. So basically, Satyabhama was accepted by Rukmini, that is also Chandravali, as her friend, and she didn't know that that was Radharani. And so Rukmini thought, well, this nice girl will be here. And she was thinking, but this girl, she is so attractive, I want to put her someplace where my husband will never see her. Because if he sees her, he will fall in love with her. And you know what will happen after that. So she put her in this place called New Vrindavan. Not the New Vrindavan in the United States. That would have been a disaster. But another Vrindavan, that means New Vrindavan, which is a replica of Vrindavan that was constructed near Dwarka by the demigod Vishwakarma, the architect of the demigods. So she put her there. She thought, you know, there won't be any problem. So in that place called Nava or New Vrindavan, there was a deity of Krishna. And the deity was life-size deity of Krishna. He had a flute in his hand and everything like that. So she was there in this place called New Vrindavan, Hare Krishna. She was in this place called New Vrindavan, and she was thinking, why am I still living? I cannot live without Krishna. And one of her associates there said, you could get married to the king. Of course, the king was Krishna. But she didn't know that Dwarkadish was the same person as Rajendranandana. So she thought, I don't want to hear anything about it. Because Radharani is extremely chaste. One time in Vrindavan, she was actually thinking of ending her life, even when Krishna was present, because she thought she had become unchaste. The reason is that she said, I'm attracted to three people. I'm attracted to the person whose name is Krishna. I'm attracted to the person who plays the flute. And I'm attracted to that bluish boy. Because she thought they were three different persons. You understand? So Radharani is extremely chaste. So anyway, so she was thinking, I don't want anything to do with this Dwarkadish person. You know, he may be a great person and handsome and everything, but, you know, keep him away from me. She didn't realize it was Krishna. So she was in the forest, in this New Vrindavan forest, and while she was there, she saw this deity of Krishna. And one of her associates there is called Nava Vrinda. That means New Vrinda. Because there's Vrinda in Vrindavan. Vrinda in Vrindavan never leaves Vrindavan, isn't it? Just like it. There's a story of the original Vrinda deity in Vrindavan. When all the deities were taken out of Braj, and basically many of them went to Jaipur, other places in Rajasthan, but they couldn't get the Vrinda deity out of Braj. She remained in Kamyavan. You know about this.
Yeah.
And they just couldn't move her, and she's still there today. So Vrinda never leaves. So there was this Nava Vrinda who was with Radharani, who was Satyabhama. Is everyone following the story so far? Just want to make sure, because it gets a little complicated. Who was with Radharani, who was Satyabhama, in this new Vrindavan. And she presented Radharani with the deity of Krishna, and Radharani began to decorate the deity of Krishna. This big life-size deity of Krishna. But then they heard some noise, and it was actually Krishna coming, but she thought it was just Dwarkadish. And so she and her associates went hiding in the forest. And then Krishna came into this new Vrindavan, and he saw the deity of himself, and he thought, this deity is so nicely decorated. I wonder who has decorated this deity. It is done so beautifully. I'm going to find out. So Krishna said, take the deity and put the deity in the bushes. I'm going to take the same pose as the deity. So Krishna took the same pose as the deity. Like that. He's holding himself like that. Then Radharani of Satyabhama comes out. And she begins to decorate the deity and talk. And she touches the deity. See, the deity's not exactly like stone. And Radharani's talking. But Krishna sees it as Radharani. He actually sees that it's Radharani, but he doesn't understand it's a real Radharani. He thinks it's a replica constructed by Vishwakarma. Because it's New Vrindavan. He knows that Vishwakarma's constructed these replicas of the residents of Vrindavan there. So he says, boy, Vishwakarma's done a great job. And Radharani is still thinking it's the deity. Wow, the deity's talking, you know. So she's thinking, wow, this is a great deity. Vishwakarma's done a great job. So eventually they discover, you know, this is actually Krishna and Radharani, and they're very happy to be with each other. However, Rukmini is not happy about the whole thing. She's suspicious, very, very suspicious. So Krishna, in order to meet with Rukmini, he made me with with Satyabhama, who is Radharani, has to tell lies to Rukmini. He has to say, well, I have to go visit the demigods. Lord Brahma is doing a sacrifice today. And so he keeps sneaking around. And one day they actually go into this cave. I'm just giving a summary. There's a lot more in this whole thing. One day they go into this cave, in which this cave has all the pictures of their Vrindavan pastimes. And Krishna and Radharani, who is Satyabhama at that time, are looking at all the different pictures like that of the Vrindavan pastimes. And they're appreciating. And Krishna teases her a little bit, because there's this picture of when Krishna stole the clothes of the gopis. You know the picture? And the gopis had to come out, like holding their hands over the head, like if some robber puts his gun and holds their hands over their head. So they have to put their hands like this and walk out completely naked. And Krishna looks at that picture and says, there's a picture of Radharani there. And he says, who's that girl there? And Radharani gets, you know, she starts turning red and she gets very upset. She says, don't talk like that. Finally, they see a picture that they really hate, which is the picture of when Krishna was taken out of Vrindavan by Akrura. And so they don't like that picture. Eventually, Rukmini discovers what's going on, that her husband is meeting with a paramour. And so what she does is she takes Radharani, who is Satyabhama, into her palace. She just keeps her, like, under her vision, you know, under her eyes like that, just to watch her 24 hours a day. So then Krishna thinks, what am I going to do now? So then Krishna dresses up as a girl. And he comes to the palace, and Navavrinda introduces Krishna, who is actually a girl, introduces her or him, as the case may be, to Rukmini and say, this is Satyabhama's old friend. Please let them be with each other for a while. And so Rukmini, not suspecting anything, says, all right, Satyabhama, go with your friend. And so Satyabhama and Krishna, they go away for a little while. However, when Krishna was planning to do this whole thing, to dress up as a woman so he could be with Satyabhama, there was a parrot who overheard this. And so the parrot happens to be in the palace at that particular time and speaks up and says, I'm going to dress up as a woman and fool Rukmini and be able to be with Satyabhama. You understand? It's an interesting story, isn't it? And so when Rukmini hears this, she just becomes livid, angry, completely upset. She decides to banish Satyabhama. And when Satyabhama understands that she's going to be banished, she decides to commit suicide by jumping into the Kaliya Lake, the replica of the Kaliya Lake, which is supposed to have snakes in it. So she thinks, I'm going to commit suicide. So she runs and jumps into this Kali Lake. At the same time, Krishna finds out what's going to happen, and he jumps in and saves her. Of course, the snakes are all imitation snakes, so there's no danger of that particular point. Then later on, I'm just going really fast forward through the whole thing. Then later on, Rukmini discovers that Satyabhama is actually Radharani, her sister, cousin sister, because Vrishabhanu and Chandrabhanu. Vrishabhanu is Radharani's father, and Chandrabhanu is Chandravali's father. So they're cousin sisters. So Satyabhama and Rukmini sort of like make friends, and Rukmini is very happy about it, and then she gives permission for Krishna to marry Satyabhama at the end. So it's a happy ending. So that's basically the whole Lalita Madhava in a nutshell. But it's about 20 hours of narration. So anyone to hear it, it's going to be on the internet. So that's a long story. So I don't think we have any time. So maybe I'll just read a little bit from the Bhakti Ratnakara. Oh, you have to go? Why do you have to go?
I'm tutoring students at the university, so please,
announce,
if you feel appropriate.
Announcing the engagement of Radha Manjari and Achal Krishna will be on Friday, the 18th of November. Haribo! Congratulations. You have to go? Radha Manjari's going too? Or is she going
to? I have to go.
All right. Your husband came too. It's nice.
I'll see you at the airport tomorrow.
Tomorrow, you know what time? Can you wake up so early? Yeah, about 5 o'clock at the airport. Okay, thank you very much for coming. So that's a nice engagement, or special engagement. Yeah. All the marriages should be ekapatni vratas. Only one wife and one husband for each person, each lifetime. If you want to marry someone else, you have to take birth again. But there's only one husband and one wife. Okay. We'll just read a little bit from the Bhakti Ratnakara. So, Omaganata Madandasha Gadanjana Shlakaya Chakshura Miditam Yena Tasmai Shigadave Namaha. Once, this story is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visits Seshayi at the border of Braj. Anyone here have been to Seshayi Vishnu? You've been there. At the very nice deity of Vishnu. And there's a lake there called Shirasagara, right? Right next to it. What's that?
The Milk Ocean.
Milk Ocean, yeah, the Milk Ocean. Yeah. And you have a deity. You remember being there, Tilakini, right? Krishna and all the demigods are surrounding him, and Lord Brahma is coming from his navel. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visits Sheshayi at the border of Braj. Once Krishna lay down on an antarshesh at Sheshayi, Shiramudra and Sri Radhika massage his lotus feet. Their divine beauty cannot be described. The Braja Vilas Dhaba describes, while Krishna was lying down at an antarshesh, Radhika wanted to hold his soft lotus feet on her chest, but considered that her hard breast might hurt his soft feet, so she restrained herself. I pray to Seshai Krishna to grant me a residence in this beautiful land of Braj. Raghava, remember, Raghava Pandit is taking Narottamadas Thakur and Srinivas around Braj. So Raghava explained that Sri Krishna Chaitanya Chandra came here for a darshan of Seshai. Seeing the beauty of Seshai, his ecstasy increased, and in that state of love, he became overwhelmed. Those fortunate persons who saw the effulgence of the Lord also became maddened in ecstasy, and tears flowed from their eyes. They concluded that he could not be an ordinary human being, but must be Seshayi Bhagavan himself in the dress of a sannyasi. While speaking, they looked continually at the moon-like face of Lord Chaitanya. O Srinivas, said Sri Raghava, the character of Mahaprabhu is unfathomable, and only by his mercy is one able to understand him. Raghava then pointed to a kadamba tree where Krishna used to roam. There was Kanigram in Kumbhadhara, where Krishna Balaram grazed their cattle. Kanigram is one on the boundary of Braj, and another boundary there is Vanachari, which is also famous for the pastimes of Krishna. In Karado, Balaram inquired about the well-being of his coward boyfriends. In Ujjani, the Yamuna changed her course and flowed upstream while listening to the sweet music of Krishna's flute. In Kailana Vana, now called Kailatirtha, Krishna and Balaram played continually, forgetting even their food until their mothers came to feed them. Just read a little bit more. Balaram's Rasa Leela at Ramagat. It's interesting that in this whole Parikrama description, they're actually skipping from one place, Vrindavan, to another, because Seshayi Vishnu is all the way in western Braj, and Ramagat is on the other side of the Jamuna. So, Srinivas, this is Ramagat. Balaram, the son of Rohini, performed his Rasa Leela here. This place is situated quite a distance from where Krishna had his Rasa Leela. Balaram is the second body of Krishna himself, supremely gentle and forbearing. The depth of his real self is like 10 million oceans. Anxious to meet the residents of Vrindavan, he came to Braj from Dwarka and stayed there during the months of Chaitra and Vaishakha, that's March to May, to console Sri Nanda, Yashoda, and the others. By his loving, submissive dealings, the son of Rohini satisfied his friends in various ways. Here also, Balaram gave solace to all of Krishna's beloved gopi friends and charmed his own dear and loving gopis with whom he had previously sported during spring. Who can possibly describe the great fun they enjoyed as they performed their pastimes? At that time, Krishna had killed Shankachuta. Then Krishna and Balaram both increased the Ranga. Ranga means fun and also color, with their own beloveds by celebrating a festival of Holi, throwing colored dyes on one another. The learned devotees have described the beauty of these pastimes. Just see, at this place, Rama and Krishna, decorated with gold and jeweled ornaments and suitably dressed for spring, engaged in amorous pastimes in a merry mood, each with his own beautiful gopis. They are overflowing with ecstatic mellows as they join their lovely gopi friends in dancing and singing. The sporting activities of Lord Balaram are most wonderful and abounding with transcendental mellows. There is no limit to his dear beloveds. He increased the loving attachment of those gopis who were not fortunate enough due to their young age to associate with Krishna when he performed his Rasa Leela. How Balaram engaged in this pastime is beyond description. So maybe we'll end here because it's getting late. So any questions or comments? Questions, comments about any the story I told from Lalita Madhava? No. What's that? Tell them no questions or comments.
Yeah. Most of the time I have heard that Rukmini is...
About what? You read who? Rukmini.
Yeah. Till now, my understanding was Rukmini is Mother Lakshmi herself.
Yes. That is also true. Because the Adi Lakshmi, the original Lakshmi, is Radharani. And all the other gopis in Vrindavan and wives of Krishna in Dwarka, they're all expansions from Radharani. They're all Shakti Tattva. We are what's called, at least most of us here in this room, are Vishnu Tattva, are Jiva Tattva. Someone here may be of a different category. Any Vishnu Tattvas here? Vishnu Tattva means God. Shakti Tattva means an expansion of Krishna's energy, specifically Radharani, who is Adi Shakti. So the original goddess is a fortune of the gopis. And the gopis expand as the wives of Krishna in Dwarka. And then there's other expansions in other abodes of the Lord. We find, according to the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, that the eternal residence and the Shaktis in the different abodes of the Lord are all expansions of the original Shaktis in the spiritual, in Goloka Vrindavan. Like, for example, Garuda, who is the bird carrier of the Supreme Personality of God, is a coward boy, either Subal or Sridharman, I forget which one right now, but he's a coward boy in Vrindavan. It's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, yeah, Rukmini is Lakshmi in the sense that she's the origin. In other words, Lakshmi expands from her. Lakshmi in this world expands from her. And just like you see if you go to South India, you see the Lord is has his consort Sri, Bhu, and Neil. That is Lakshmi and Bhu Devi, like that. They're expansions, all expansions of the original Adi Shakti of the Lord, the Srimati Radharani. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Just like the Lord expands, you have Krishna, Ete Changsa, Kalakpumsa, Krishna Stu Bhagavan Swayam. That is Krishna, the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. He expands as Balaram, then he expands as the Chaturruha expansions, which includes, of course, Lord Ramchandra, Lakshman, Bharata, Shatrughna. So you have these now you have these various expansions from the Lord in the same way you have expansions from Srimati Radharani. Okay? Any other questions? Yeah.
In Kartik, somebody has said devotional service is magnified many times.
Yeah.
And you don't know how many times have you read the description?
I read several descriptions. Sometimes it's 100, sometimes it's 1,000, sometimes it's 1,000,000. It's one of these things you read different numbers in different places. It's something like if you become Krishna conscious, you'll liberate. Sometimes it's said 10 generations, sometimes 100 generations, sometimes 11 generations. Whatever it is, it works. In other words, if you perform a little devotional service, swapam up yasya dharma shatayatai mahatobayat, it saves you from the most dangerous situation, and it's never lost. So if you do devotional service in this month, or anyone does devotional service in this month, then it's accepted with great happiness by this way. Or also and during Ekadashi, or during Purushottama Mas, which is considered to be the second Kartik. This year, Purushottama Mas occurs right after Janmashtami. Did you know that? Right after Janmashtami this year. Therefore, Radhastami is a month and a half after Janmashtami. Next year. Yeah. It's amazing, isn't it? So you have that leap month. Purushottama Mas is like the leap month. It's like you have a leap year where you have one day in the Western calendar. In the Vedic calendar, you have a leap month to make up for the difference between the sun and the moon cycles. And so this next year, it's actually right after Janmashtami. And therefore, Kartik is quite late this next year, 2012. So, any other questions? So what happens now?
Feet bathing.
Feet bathing? So I should be humble and bathe everyone's feet. Like Lord Jesus Christ did, right? Yeah, he bathed his disciples' feet. One funny thing, I was at Govardhan staying with some devotees, and I was saying that I should be so humble that I should cook for you and take care of you. And they said, well, if you actually, they were joking with you, if you actually want to be humble, you should feed our fish. There's a picture of it on the internet. So I went and fed the fish. Foot bathing. Oh.